Recent events have reminded us of the effect cyber attacks can have, and those close calls have been even more worrisome than the successful attacks, showing as they do the enormous amount of damage anonymous and untraceable hackers can do. It's a whole new face of warfare, so new that governments are scrambling to stay ahead of events with their own experts. Dr. Motohiro Tsuchiya is one of them. He's a cybersecurity advisor to the Japanese government and a visiting scholar at East-West Center, and he's with us this morning. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning.
Let's define a cyber attack just to get started. What exactly is it?
It's very difficult to define cyber attacks. There are lots of types of cyber attacks. First one is DDoS attack. It's distributed denial of services. Mm-hmm. So you can spread computer viruses to many computers in the world, and infected computers will access target servers in one time. So you're getting too much accesses from all over the world. So your services going down. That's one type.
You can crash a server.
Yes.
By enlisting a number of millions, possibly, of personal computers that whose owners don't even know that you're using them.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you get into somebody's personal computer?
Second type is called APT, Advanced Persistent Threat. So you can send email to somebody with attachments. For example, we met together for the first time and we exchanged email addresses today.
Sure.
And let's take a picture and we can send a picture later. Mm-hmm. So it's quite natural for you to open attachments.
Send me that photo,
Yeah. So the customized virus is in the file. So your computer is penetrated by me. So I can steal your information, read your emails or something like that, and maybe disclose those kind of things to online. So this kind of thing is APT. Well, I can send an email from your servers to somebody else.
Now you have control of my computer without my knowledge, and thousands, even a million more like me.
That's right. And the third type is, I say, CCC. It's combination of cyber weapons and conventional weapons. Mm-hmm. For example, people can penetrate it into nuclear system or something like that, or a defense system, and take control over those systems and make them, you cannot use them or something like that. So if you use cyber weapons, cyber methods before this conventional weapons, it's quite effective. So I'm worrying about this type of cyber attack in the future.
We haven't seen that much of it so far, but the potential is there.
There are a few examples, actually. Mm-hmm. So one is that Iran nuclear plant was hacked probably by the United States and Israel. And another example is that Syria. Syria is trying to develop a nuclear facility. And one day it was bombed, but we didn't know that who did it. But later investigation finds that it was Israel. So Israel manipulated radar system of the Iran. Oh, no, I'm sorry, it's Syria.
Syria, uh-huh.
Yeah. So Syria didn't detect the jet fighters coming over their territories. So
they scrambled.
Yeah. So Israel fighters could bomb those facilities in Syria. So combination of cyber weapons and conventional weapons are very effective, actually.
If we were to see that on the kind of scale that we've seen in past world wars, it would really be devastating, wouldn't it?
Yes, and in the future wars, so cyber attacks must be employed all over the world.
They undoubtedly will be. I mean, given that you don't get a weapons capability and not use it. That's history has shown us that.
Yes.
So what do we do? How do you prevent a cyber attack?
Now, United Nations General Assembly is discussing these issues.
Uh-huh.
So they will have a meeting in January next year. So they will discuss how we can use existing international laws, international norms applicable to the cyberspace. Mm-hmm. But China, Russia, and other countries says, no, this cyberspace is a new area, new domain. So we have to establish a new laws to govern cyberspace. But U.S. government, Japanese government, European government says, no, it should be the same rule must be applicable to the cyberspace. So we are discussing why U.S., Japan are supporting the existing laws, because we want to maintain free flow of information, free speech in cyberspace.
That's where the conflict really comes
that's
in.
That's right.
But yeah, you know, at the same time, you have this whole issue of, as you say, the free flow of information, but also the nations that we're most worried about, they're not going to be party to any. I'm thinking North Korea, so-called rogue nations. They don't. They're not party to any of these agreements. Nor do they much care, right?
Yeah. Hmm. So they are hiding themselves in the cloud of the internet. So we call it the attribution problem. So we are very difficult to find who are real attackers behind those cloud of the internet. In the Sony Pictures case, FBI said this is by North Korean government. We are still doubt. The investigation,
mm-hmm.
because it seems that there are two or three parties, three groups involved in the incident, actually.
That somebody got in first and then North Korea came in after?
Yes. So first, it looks like a ransomware attack. So somebody penetrate into Sony Pictures system and hold a data for blackmailing. So you can say that if you want data back, you have to pay me or something like that. But Sony said no, so they rejected the blackmail. And after that, somebody took a free ride of the attack. Probably North Korea, so they said they didn't want to roll the show of the movie, so they tried to stop the movie. So these kind of attacks are combined in the Sony Pictures.
And that's one that we're still trying to figure out.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it usually takes time to identify who real hacker, who real hackers are. So it was too short for me.
Well, it's an ongoing issue, isn't it?
Yes.
Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Appreciate it. Dr. Motohiro Tsuchiya is a professor of the Graduate School of Media and Governance at Keio University in Japan, visiting scholar at East-West Center. He's researching cybersecurity policy, helped draft the Japanese government's cybersecurity strategy. He earned his PhD in media and governance from Keio University, and you can learn more about him and his work at hpr2.org.